is the IsCast. Thank you for joining us this evening, myself.
Good God.
We're about to start over now.
No, we keep it in. Keep it in. It adds to the organicness of this.
People are dropping phones.
That was Lee, everyone. So, you know, Lee is the clutch.
Okay, to my left, I have David.
Yo.
And Ben.
Hi.
Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee.
What's up?
Thank you for joining us. I'm back. Cool guy. Guesting and starting the show, so...
Here's the podcast. Thank you very much for that, sir. It's always a pleasure having you around.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I don't know. We want to start out with. How's Proxima going? And if you guys don't remember, Proxima is our 3D printer.
It's going well.
Is it gender specific?
No.
Is it a he?
Proxima
or she?
Is a gender neutral name. But it probably would be a she. It probably is a she.
Because it's Glenn. A. Yeah, Glenn. There's a.
Well, also there's, more. Like that sort of objects are usually.
Well, Spanish. Yeah. The A is
ships. Cars.
Spanish, I'm pretty sure.
A lot of times it's female.
I was saying,
Chica.
We have two different conversations going on here.
Yeah, this isn't going to work.
Sorry. No.
Anyways, we had some problems. We're fixing them. We just got a new fan for the print head and trying to get that installed. Hopefully that can work. And I got to figure out a couple other things with the movement of the head. But once I have that up and running, we're going to try to do a time lapse video of
in 4K?
A print. And,
do we need 4K? Is that necessary?
No, we're not doing 4K.
It will when we talk about the Dell monitor, 4K monitor. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the same exact phone drop from Wade.
That was me.
That's where it is.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hopefully within a week or two.
We'll have the
You just ruined it.
It's going to be a surprise, dude.
Cut that part out.
Bleep that part out.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say we didn't want to say it was. I was dropping my phone.
Well, they have to watch the video to see what
it
is.
Okay.
And hopefully there's also the idea that at some point later down the line, we may do a printer cam. You can go to our website and you'll be able to watch prints live.
There's a lot of things we want to do.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. But that one's fun and simple. That one's a simple one to do.
Okay.
Good streaming on Twitch.
I'll take your word for it.
For some people.
Have subscribers. Yeah.
I guess other stuff we've been busy doing as a company is events, Augsburg stuff, business stuff, money making stuff, and yeah, but that's boring. We don't want to talk about that. Although it does feel good to wear our awesome t-shirts that we got.
Yes, it does.
I feel like that.
Maybe in the future you may be seeing consumer available shirts as well.
Yeah,
who knows?
Totally.
Hint, a hint.
A winky wink. What else is going on with us? What else are we up to?
What we did for fun was, again, we helped out. I think they helped out with the writer.
Woolly Rhino Productions.
Mm-hmm. They did their last day of shooting this last Saturday.
Yeah, and Ben, you were at that, weren't you?
Yep.
Me, baby. Oh, I was representing Intersection.
That's exciting.
Yep. So basically, it was a short day. Call time was noon, and then we just shot in Kellen's room, basic stuff. Mm-hmm. But no, it was cool. I love talking with Bryce about camera stuff and, you know, what he plans to do with the footage once he's editing, you know, cause he hacked.
Rotoscoping party.
Yeah. Well, we didn't talk about that cause you know, that's only so fun. But, so he hacked the 5D Mark III with Magic Lantern, and then he's recording onto CF cards. He was telling me that he has Magic Lantern installed on a SD card that he puts in, so that way it doesn't affect the internal firmware. It's kind of clever. I know with my T3i, in order to hack it with Magic Lantern, you got to actually, you know, hack the internal
firmware.
Yes.
Yeah.
but anyway, it was really fun. I was AC/ I don't know. It was a pretty simple shoot.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. A little bit of grip. But yeah.
we had some problems with the costume. Broke down a couple times. But
did it when I was gone?
No, I just the overall shoot. Wise,
mm-hmm. the oh, gun, with the Guardian,
the gun broke.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Lee, were you there when I was fixing the gun?
No.
Oh, that's right.
I only got to go once.
Yeah,
for a little bit.
The day when you weren't officially there.
Yes.
Yeah. Because like when I saw the gun, the front piece was like,
it was shattered.
It was I found a couple pieces. I glued them back together, and then the remaining gaps. I told David to cover with gaff tape, and it turned out pretty good. You couldn't really tell.
I think it will hold up on screen.
It will, because it's all wide shots.
The thing has been broken so many times, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you know, and it, you know, it was a $23.
What's funny, though, is the first day of shooting, I get on set, And it's this big guy, you know, he's built, he's like six something.
Run.
Yeah.
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 So he's a beast.
He puts on the costume and it looks good. I know we were worried about the huge vest, but he filled it in.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's actually a little on the small side.
I think he got a little too into character because he's sitting there running along the beach in this full like get up of like super futuristic military. And he like starts pumping the shotgun like it's an actual military weapon and breaks the damn thing like five tapes. But yeah.
It was a $20 airsoft gun?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did not hold up fancy. When a big strong guy was wielding it. Go figure.
Yeah.
But it's airsoft. What do you want? That's basically what we've been up to.
Yeah. And so we did. You mentioned we wrapped that. So now it's going into post. So, you know, there's some pretty VFX heavy sections of it. So we'll see. But mm-hmm. we'll keep you updated. And we'll see if we can't get the guys from Holy Rhino on the podcast.
That'd be fun.
Really nice.
At some point.
At least Kellen. He's a riot.
Oh my gosh, I love Kellen so much.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get some of them on for Bloat. We'll do a on location extra shot, extra thing. Mm-hmm. We'll just insert it in the middle of our normal podcast.
It was great how they had so much behind the scenes stuff. They, you know, mm-hmm. there was Kellen's T3i laying around. He wanted people to take pictures with. There was the GoPro that took turns.
I did rolls with it. It was fun.
You did what?
I rolled around. Like I put it on my head and I started rolling around the grass on the outside. It was fun.
I can't imagine that would like, well, maybe it's wide angle. Maybe it'll look good. I don't know.
It looked, no, it was in the end of one of their.
It was in one of the behind the scenes.
Oh, was
videos.
It?
Yeah, yeah. It was made it in. Yeah. And you can find that on Facebook. You can find them at Woolly Rhino, Woolly Rhino.
Yeah.
So I guess you're looking for that.
Did you guys see the picture? I think it was Nick, the sound guy, he posted where he took of Ron in the Guardian suit when he's standing against the white sheet we put up. That looked really cool.
Yeah, it was a cool picture.
Totally. I don't know. What else are we up to? Is that it?
Yeah, that's about it. Hopefully, we'll be in a couple of weeks, or hopefully soon, we'll be getting the Black Magic again. So we'll be doing a
more tests.
Yeah, a little more drawn out of a test with that. So, you know, mm-hmm. we have to do. You know, there's a much longer post process with RAW, but
there is.
But you can look forward to that hopefully in the coming weeks and months.
So this month we all saw.
Well,
oh wait, before we do that,
I'm getting way out of order.
Yeah, sorry.
The big
thing that, of course, Ben and I only remember to add to these topics today was the PS4 and Xbox One release, which is the big thing. So I don't know, like I knew there was something really big I was forgetting about, and that was it.
Sounds like they were both widely successful.
Yeah,
as far as
I think they've both sold over a million in less than a day.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So so now the bigger thing we'll come out with as the games come out, that will be the bigger challenge is who does better.
I wonder how many like new people there were to each console. Like how many new Xbox people and how many new PlayStation people.
I would think it'd be surprisingly low.
Well, you got to remember though, like the people that are getting older are still buying them, and then you're getting new younger customers. So it's just expanding.
I'm just curious, like the fanboys, like who stayed with who kind of thing.
And who switched camps.
Some people South just Park. Get both. They just spend the money. And
I'm sure, like in time, I'm probably going to be getting the PS4.
Yeah.
I'll be getting the one first, but you know, maybe it will take a while. But I'll probably both.
I couldn't see a lot of people who own 360s to buy a PS4 on launch day.
Yeah,
because you know they'd probably wait till the price maybe goes down a little bit. But
well, see, I wanted a PS3 for a long time and never ended up buying that because there's a couple of games I wanted to buy or wanted to play on the PS3, like. Heavy Rain, Journey, and all those are PS3
Uncharted.
Exclusives.
Drake's.
Killzone.
Yeah, Drake's Uncharted.
Yeah.
But no, I can't. I messed up on that. I'm sure I can go back.
I did see a pretty cool article that, I don't know, it was food for thought. It was about why some people might be better off buying a Wii U. And the argument was that, as of right now, it has a better lineup of games. Mm. Granted, it has been out longer.
And it depends.
What games, really?
Zelda?
Zelda's not out for Wii U yet. No. Well, the remake, the HD remake of Wind Waker's out. Sean, you were about to...
Possible Metroid. We have possible...
Well, no, but not possible. The ones that are currently out.
Currently
the
out.
Argument was that it has a better current lineup of games for the holiday season. Mm. And they have this new Super Mario 3D Land one. They have...
But you don't buy the next-gen console just for the holidays, like...
I know. It's not. Like, that's why I qualified by saying, as of right now, the lineup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that was the one thing that sort of disappointed me with the Xbox One initial lineup. And granted, you know, I have a relatively narrow band of games and genres of games that I enjoy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was the big tipping point. But for me, between getting the One and an iPad Air, was that there were no launch title games or even launch window games that I was super excited about. But the big ones I'm excited about are Destiny and
Titanfall.
Watch Dogs and Titanfall. Oh. And those are all...
Yeah, they
Titanfall got pushed back to launch
They would have done a lot better if Watch Dogs came out.
Yeah.
It was supposed to, and it got delayed.
If Titanfall came out on launch day,
yeah,
it would have made a killing.
Well, and the PS4 didn't really launch with too much either, though, right? It launched with Killzone, and then I'm not sure if it really launched with much else. Because, like, I remember seeing all the PS4 commercials, and they show, like, all their commercials include, like,
I think they've had
like Elder Scrolls Online, which is a good couple of months away, and then they have all this other like Killzone.
Most of the big games at launch are for both systems.
Yeah, like, but like Xbox 4, only Assassin's showed Creed. Two yeah. of Ghosts. Their games in their advertisements, and PS4 showed up their whole new lineup and everything like that. I just thought it was interesting.
What do they have for the Xbox One? Battlefield 4? Anything else?
Well, as far as exclusives, you got Rise,
Forza,
Dead Rising 3, which that's one I'll probably get.
Yeah, but you're the only one here who has them.
Yeah,
you got an Xbox
was able to get one. Got
a day one edition too, which I'm very jealous about.
Didn't really care that I did or not. But
can I have that controller then?
No. I did get the achievement though. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, there's an achievement for it. Yep. Wow, how many gamer points is that?
It's just one. I don't know.
One gamer point
for the Xbox One.
It's that special thing. It's like. People look at you
but it's
and
like
say,
no
oh,
one else can get it.
Yeah,
you can't get it by playing a game.
Which I'm also predicting there's going to be more achievements like that.
Yeah,
I wonder
future, more which, like special ones, like you know, like you were playing Xbox One at midnight of the new year. Like
I wonder if there's
like that, like special ones that are, it's a one time only and when it's gone.
I hope they don't do too much.
I wonder if there's
though.
That guy that bought the Xbox One or Day One edition and is holding on to it and hasn't logged into it and everything. Is it like going to hold on to it for a year and then put it on eBay?
Well, I looked up the price of a Day One edition on eBay.
Oh, is it? What's the price?
$1,700.
What?
Wow.
$1,700 for a Day One edition. When I looked up on launch day is when I looked that up.
On launch day. But the bigger ones are the employee editions.
Yeah,
the white ones.
Yeah. Oh, those look. Really
and it and says
is it, you made this,
yeah,
isn't it?
Or I helped make this or something
cool.
like that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Lee, really noticed big, have you noticed a big difference in graphics?
I currently don't have any games. Oh. I did download Killzone.
$500 for a Blu-ray.
But have you?
Wait, you downloaded Killzone? What?
Killer Instinct. Sorry. Oh. And you know it's a fighting game, so there's not much there in the first place. But you can tell there's a lot more like particle effects and stuff like that.
I think that has a better dynamic range.
I'm waiting for Christmas to get a bunch of games.
You can play the 360 games, right?
No.
What?
It's not backwards compatible.
Yeah. No.
That was already a big deal. Everyone knew that.
I didn't
that.
Pay attention
they
when
usually,
they announced
they
that.
They usually aren't.
Yeah,
PS4
that
isn't
is the
backward
shame.
Compatible.
With it is like I'll have to keep. You know, that's why because my 360 drive died. And that's the reason why I need to take the time either to swap in an older one of Ben's or get a new 360 because I have all my 360 games.
Your CD drive, not your hard drive.
Yeah, sorry, CD drive.
That's absolutely ridiculous. Backwards compatibility has always been in gaming. I can play my N64 games in my Super Nintendo anytime out. Or wait, other way around.
But you can only play, what, like 10 Xbox games
no, I'm,
in your
I'm
360?
Kidding. Backwards
no, no,
compatibility
no,
was only in like the last gen. It's,
yeah.
it's
yeah.
never been
the
any
The Xbox
other
actually has a pretty long library.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the other one is I
the,
need to
the
get
thing
my Xbox up and running.
The Nintendo games, like, they haven't the gap between the technology hasn't been that great usually, and so they can bridge it with software.
Like
but
you can play GameCube games in a Wii, you can play Wii games in a Wii U, all that stuff.
Yeah. But all the Wii ones, you know, to get the really old ones, you got to do digital and stuff. Yeah. So they ported them and
you
stuff
know,
like that.
Going back to launch titles, it is
maybe they might be able to. I'm hoping maybe. Like the digital games, but I doubt it. But
I know they're making a big deal about making sure that Minecraft saves and for Minecraft for 360, you can transfer those games because that's been such a big deal because you know it's been an incredibly popular game, the 360 edition of Minecraft. So they were, you know, there was a big hubbub about wanting to make it set up. Oh, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
I wanted to talk about
it's really
the...
easy to play with other people with the Xbox service, the live
launch titles. Get back to launch titles.
We are talking about Minecraft is going to be coming out soon.
Yeah, I think that's a launch window one.
Yeah.
Are they gonna I have it on my phone. So the Minecraft that they're gonna release for the Xbox One, is that gonna be more like the PC version?
They haven't
no,
said
I think it's
anything
be
about
much
it.
Said, though the cool thing they are releasing for it is they are releasing a Skyrim world for the Xbox One edition. We're like I think it's Winterhold? I think it's at the city that it does it. Winterhold and some of the surrounding areas, and it's gonna have like a custom skin for it and everything. It actually looks really, really cool. Makes me want to play Skyrim again, except my 360 is dead.
Wow. But with the generation previous to this one, with the PS3 and the Wii and all that, I think the launch titles were really strong when those came out.
They were.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when the Wii came out, it was, well, Wii Sports came with every game, which
yeah.
was like a phenomenon, just because of their motion controls, not because it was a fabulous game. But then,
and it was probably a party game, too, which had always been a real strength.
Twilight Princess came out right away, which was an amazing game. And, like, when I bought the Wii, I bought it off of eBay because they were all sold out. I bundled with Twilight Princess for, like, $450. But, Sean, what else came out?
They had Red Steel, Rayman Raving Rabbids.
I remember playing that at your place.
Because I stayed, man, for the Nintendo Wii launch, I stayed outside for 48 hours, first in line.
Jeez.
I got the first Nintendo Wii from Elk River GameStop. That was a big deal for me.
Cool.
And it still works to this day. I still have the box and everything. So.
Although Halo has never been a game that's come out on a launch.
No, wasn't it?
Halo came out for a launch for Xbox, though.
Yeah,
it was a launch.
The first Xbox.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, but not since then.
No, I looked up. I wanted to see what some of the launch titles were for 360, and one of them was, because I was trying to compare, like, just
the quality
on the same system, but the quality was Call of Duty 2 was the first one on 360. And just comparing,
wasn't
that,
there Gears of War too?
Comparing that to Ghosts,
or not two, but Gears of War as well.
Yeah, I don't know if that was launch.
I think it was.
Yeah,
because it was a big next shooter franchise that they tried to make, and it kind of
like that came
too.
Out later, but
if anything, it was like a month later.
But it's just amazing. Like, it was so shitty, like the animation, and you know, you're just. Just a little gun stick, like, I don't know. It just
takes me
it's
back.
It's crazy.
I enjoyed the meme that was going around too. That I saw today about a side-by-side comparison of the graphics of Halo 5 on an Xbox One versus a PS4. And it was like this awesome, you know, epic picture on the Xbox One side and then black on the PS4 side.
Call of Duty 2 did launch with the...
Yeah. It was talking about Gears of War.
Oh, sorry, Gears of War. I did not.
Yeah.
So, I play Call of Duty on my PC anyway.
You know what? With the Steam Fall Sale, I did buy Portal 2 because it was $5.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's absolutely phenomenal game. That's one of my few 10 out of 10
Skyrim
games.
Skyrim is $7, I think, on Steam. Or was
is it
the
really?
Other day? On the other day, it was.
$7.
Yeah. I bought Medieval Chivalry.
Yep, which is the medieval, very popular medieval combat game.
Yeah, I'm excited about
it. I'm excited to get... Our Hackintosh gaming computers up and running, so I can get some more of those.
BioShock things. Infinite's on sale. The whole franchise actually is on sale for like $15. Mm.
I got too many games.
I was gonna buy a Griff Ball.
I started
doing achievements again.
Yeah,
I was talking to David about this.
Yep, I'm big
into my old Xbox
as well.
360 games.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to do achievements. I'm doing Assassin's Creed right now.
So Lee, even if
which sucks because every mission you have to start from the beginning at the
home base.
The home base, and you have to travel.
Yeah, it's obnoxious.
But Lee, even if I went game for game with you and tried to like beat you in achievements, I couldn't beat you because you'd always have the one.
Yep.
The one gamer point ahead of me.
It was interesting. The other day, I was looking at like
Well, you
can
do more games than me, but...
Yeah. Unless we ran out of games.
I don't think that's possible.
What's that, David?
The other day, I was looking at the... at the same time.
I did just get a digital Gears of War for free with the Xbox Gold.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
That was there.
One thing
December.
That I was looking at just for fun, but the other day I was looking at the Xbox Gamer Score leaderboards. And one that it doesn't surprise me, but it does. Oh, but it's not showing up on this list. Is Rayman, who is one of the guys at Rooster Teeth. I think it's like in the number 4. Slot for the highest gamer score in the world,
and he works for Achievement Hunter, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
but he's
also a huge gamer on his own too. Like he does go a lot into games, and he does 100% a ton of games.
And you stood
in
line.
He's working all the time.
Yep,
pretty much.
And you stood in line how long to get his autograph?
5 hours, 45 minutes, and it was worth every single second.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
That was so incredible to do that.
You know, I am curious about this. The new 4K monitors from
Dell. Oh yeah, yeah.
What's that about?
So what just got announced today by Dell is these two 4K monitors, and
are they DisplayPort?
Yes, they are.
Nice.
Sweet. The one thing being said is one of the issues that I personally don't like about them is they are not the true 4K. They're not the 4096 by whatever it is. They're like the 3890.
Oh, yeah. The poor man's 4K.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
I did see that. Yes, I did. And then people were speculating on if Apple was going to, like, compete with them and get, like,
that's
a more widescreen. They dominate.
True. That's what everyone is speculating is with the launch of the new Mac Pro, there will be a new 4K cinema display along with it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what makes me excited about this, I do wish it was a Thunderbolt thing because I'd love the daisy chain, but it's DisplayPort.
Oh, that's
which is
what
good.
I meant. Is it Thunderbolt?
No, it's DisplayPort HDMI and USB 3.0. But anyway, so they have a 32-inch one, which will go for $3,500. And they currently have a 24-inch one that will go for $1,300. Now, what I am excited about for this one is they plan on releasing a 28-inch version for less than $1,000.
Hmm. Not bad.
So what's going to happen to those other ones then? Are they going to go down in price too?
I don't know. So that's one thing. And that's going to be in early 2014 is what they've said.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to see what those are like, especially if, you know, if we end up getting our hands on, like, the Blackmagic 4K camera, it'll be nice to have a 4K native display to a certain extent, enjoy some of that. And so when we post it on YouTube and it's in 4K on YouTube, I can watch it in 4K on my screen.
It's ridiculous. An alternative to the monitor, though, is I think I've talked to you about MacTrass posting about like a 32-inch 4K one that's like $500-something.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's a TV. It's not a monitor.
Oh,
but
okay.
I don't know. It seems like there'd be something horribly wrong with it.
Yeah, and the other one, similarly to that, that I'm looking towards is like there's the sort of the demi off-brand company Westinghouse. You know, it's not.
Is that the Best Buy brand?
Hmm? It might be.
What?
Westinghouse.
That's.
Or is that Target? Oh, I thought it was one of those.
You know what? Anyway, it's sort of like that partial.
Best Buy
like,
is
it's
Dynex
not a,
and Rooster.
It's Rocket not a completely Fish. Off-brand one, but it's semi-off-brand. They said like at NAB or not NAB CES last year, they said it was going to. They're trying to make a 55-inch 4K display for less than $2,000.
I'll wait till the price goes down before I dive into that market.
I'll wait for content.
You'll wait for content.
Well, yeah, we gotta have something.
But no, I think you're right. You know. Apple was really pushing the fact that they could put up to a 3 or 4 4K monitors. What was it? It was three, I think.
Yeah, three.
It makes sense for them to be able to
market their own device.
Although, I don't know, it's tough because that's such an expensive thing to sell.
Yeah.
Although their cinema display is expensive.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm curious if they can keep it right around the same price point, it could be usable.
Yeah. But, okay. Going on, for this month, we all saw the
Hunger
next
Games.
Hunger Games catching
the
75th
annual Hunger Games.
Jennifer Lawrence. Wow.
That was my
great.
Terrible impersonation of Caesar.
That was
Blick.
Good. That was
Caesar
good.
Blick.
Or as I like to call these series of movies, the horrendous human rights violation games.
Yeah, and I do. I have notes because I saw it twice, so I have notes on what I didn't and did like about it.
Were you taking them while you were watching the movie?
I was, because the second time I didn't feel like paying attention. It's a long movie. It's like an hour. And
yeah,
two,
so you,
two
you have an advantage
months.
Because
yeah,
you took notes.
I do. So would you like me to go first and so you can comment on my notes?
Go right ahead,
okay.
David.
Well,
I would
so,
love
no,
your
we're gonna,
opinion.
We're going to converse about this.
Fine.
Not just lecture.
Oh, no. I'm going to lecture you on how film is better than digital because I saw it in film and digital projection. Film
okay, but
so
you know what?
Better.
That should be last because we want to cover the story.
Okay,
our first Sean, what were you going to say?
Is there a spoiler alert? Just
yes.
So
yes, definitely.
Yes,
definite
there
spoilers.
Is a spoiler alert. Okay.
So turn this off if you don't
so,
want to.
So at this point, if you're ending now, thanks for listening. We're probably going to be talking about this for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah.
So thanks. Anyway.
It was great. Talk about a fucking tense movie.
Yeah.
Good God.
I did enjoy it a lot.
I thought it was a lot better than the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was better than the first one. Mm-hmm. I'll give it that.
Mm-hmm. It's weird, though, because, like, they'll have characters that come on, like Cinna, and characters like that you can tell are really important in the books, but in the movies they've got this small role.
Yeah.
It's
who's
weird.
Who's Cinna?
He's the costume designer. For,
oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And it's weird because, like, you can tell, oh, he must be a really important guy based on how Katniss is mm-hmm. acting towards him, but mm-hmm. he's not developed in the movies. He's only developed in the books, and I haven't even read him, but I'm just guessing based on what people have told me.
I don't think as far as his acting, I don't know if he could do a really good job in connecting.
He
with
was
the audience.
He was pretty stoic.
Yeah.
Well, because he's a singer, right? What is he?
Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz.
Oh,
that's Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah,
I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah. So
And in his defense, I think he does a lot better of a job. He keeps his own Lenny Kravitz flavor, but he puts that, he's a special character in the movie, and you can see that.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt.
Yeah, you know? I think there's a little bit there, but as far as like connecting the audience, he's very like one tone.
Also, mm-hmm. Donald Sutherland. Oh man, what a badass.
him and Philip Seymour Hoffman. Mm-hmm. Love them both.
Yeah, I didn't expect his turncoatness at the end.
I saw it coming.
Oh, well, of course he turns it. But no, it was good.
I don't know the actor's name. Whoever was Caesar Blickman, the show host guy.
Yes.
Tim, I love his performance in this movie. He is such a fun character.
I couldn't stop staring at his teeth. They're so freaking white. True.
But I think it really works well. I love the way he talks and his sort of goofy, like, he is like exactly the kind of show host that society would have.
Did you guys just kind of roll your eyes a little bit when he was interviewing the tributes and PETA was like, I just wish it wasn't for the baby. Yeah. The way he said it, he was like, but there's a baby now.
When they moved the shot to the other guy who like he tipped his drink to him, I did like that exact same thing. Like, you dog.
It was just so like soap opera. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And also with that, like one of the little things that bothered me is like there was no follow up on that baby thing. Like the Capitol's not gonna let that kind of statement.
Yeah, they didn't really check
like,
in on
that. Yeah, well, they didn't run pregnancy
tests. They all wrapped it up with like, oh, nice try, but it didn't work.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't mention a formal announcement of that to calm everyone down, say, no, he was lying about it.
I think it's
a minor thing.
I think
minor.
We should assume that they did, but it kind of would have taken away from the story.
That was my biggest problem with these movies. And something I don't like about it, because the type of movies I enjoy are like Lord of the Rings, they're journeys, they're about the surroundings, about the culture, the
whole package,
the background stories of things, and this is all from the point of view of Katniss. And
I think that's also very, the way that the books are written.
Yes,
though.
It is, and which is fine. So it's like I respect that, and it's good. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as far as what I like is like I have all these questions, and I don't know what's going on and why is this happening? Why does that matter?
Also though, like in for Lord of the Rings, like you have scholars of Tolkien that have like either like gone into his notes, like gone in, like broke into his house and like stole stuff or whatever.
He's
like,
dead. He doesn't have a house.
I mean, his relatives.
No, Lee, I think you're exactly right. I mean, it's pretty much written to be there's Katniss and then there's like her small group of people, but then there's like the Capitol and all the other like districts, like that's it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Those are the
and
like,
you have to see everything else through her.
I don't know, like, are we? What is this? Are we on Earth? Is this?
Yeah, that's one thing. Is the with future, the books, is there is not the, one like, thing I really don't like about it is there is not a world map, which I think is a very important thing to include, especially in sci-fi and fantasy books, is a world map, and there is not one. There are, if you search it online, there are people that have sort of speculated based on what each of the 12 districts supply. Like, they sort of make guesses. They assume the capital is somewhere deep in the Rockies, and that District 12 is because of the coal that they mine.
But it's like,
that
is
somewhere
this,
in the Appalachians.
But they're assuming that it's the United States.
Well,
or that this
I think
is
it is. I think they do know it is the United States.
But it's
States.
Like, is this just the United States? Does that mean there's no other nations? Does that mean the population is that small that they can control it and no one can escape and find these other places?
That's
like,
true.
They're that isolated? Like,
I just don't
believe that. Like, you can't, with that amount of area, you can't control that much.
Can I point out another thing that really bothered me in this? The security booth door on the train. It is
they keep leaving the damn thing open.
It is an electronic door, and it gets cracked open.
Seriously.
Maybe it's really hot in there with
every,
all those electronics.
Every single time she walked by, it was cracked open.
And he didn't have to stand up and close it. Like, he accidentally forgot to push it. He hit a button, and it just like, who does it? Who designed that door? Come on, people. This is the fracking future.
Yeah, no, Lee, I agree. Like, I kept going back to, you know, if a story's written on a premise that's a little bit shaky, you know, sometimes I keep thinking about it and dwelling on it. Like, if there was a country like this, I'm sure at least one or two other countries in the world would have something to say about it. Some kind of...
I agree completely. I don't need, like, entire explanations, but I need, like, that it was thought about or it's there's something else. I need to know that there's something else going on that is handling it or that...
Like, this is happening because of this or something.
Yeah, you need the big picture. And speaking of big picture, why are all the TVs so darn small?
They're tiny. That's what, like, well, they're not TVs. They're like projections.
Yeah, but yeah. They've literally gone backwards. Like, their projection TV was like a 32-inch screen.
I know.
And the only large screen they have is the one that they had, like, in the training room when they were talking about, here are all the other tributes. They had a big mm-hmm. screen. But, like, the president has the same size viewing screen as the peasants in District 12. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, when they were watching, when they were all watching, like, TV, I was thinking, I would not watch that. No. I wouldn't want to sit there and watch that.
And not to mention, like, it's translucent in the worst possible way. Yeah,
you can see what's behind it. You can see the wall behind it.
It would be an absolutely horrendous viewing experience. Mm-hmm. Granted, like, the one joy of it, like Haymitch illustrated, is you can throw stuff at the TV and you're not going to break it.
Maybe that's because we'd be old people in the future. Like, we're the grungy old people that are hesitant to change. And, like, mm-hmm. all of our kids would probably, like, oh, my gosh, it's amazing.
And actually, another moment I want to ask about, because I think it does bother me, when Joanna strips in the elevator.
Oh. Yeah, what's that what about?
Was,
yeah.
Like, I think it was, like, a tent. Okay, Ben, you, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, you can smile all you want. Like, I understand it from, like, a tension-breaking moment, but it was a weird moment that wasn't really followed random. Up on.
Well, yeah. I think it was like, just trying to set her character as this just crazy, I don't give a shit about anything.
Yeah, but I wonder if that was the best way to do it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, as soon as that happens, like as soon as she's like, unzip me, he's like, is what I think is about to happen going to happen? Yeah. Or, oh, yep, and it's gone.
Yeah, it was so a little.
She's just flashing the world, and yeah. Like, is really happy.
I love
with
Jennifer Lawrence's faces. Yes, that
was a brilliant one. Yeah. That looked like her outside of the yeah, world of film, totally like did. One of her weird faces. She
I mean,
makes
that's
in real
probably
life.
The purpose for the scene, just to show her reaction to it.
Yeah, that was like the most of her reaction.
Well, it was
something.
It was
like,
also
really...
to show like she was. Caring about what PETA was.
Yeah. She's a little jealous, yeah.
And
yeah.
Haymitch was pretty funny too. Like, he was quite happy with that.
Yeah.
Woody
so
Harrelson.
Are you guys team PETA or team whatever?
I hate that there's
whatever
even teams.
The, no. Ugh. No,
I'm
I was
only
gonna
one
ask
team,
are you
team Edward?
Hey, can I
James
just finish
Almas.
My damn sentence?
Yes, go ahead.
God damn. Are you team? You didn't even hear my alternative.
Sorry.
Which was gonna be the other damn guy, I don't remember his name, because who cares about him? I don't know
Gale.
Why he's in this movie.
Yeah.
Gale.
He serves no purpose except to come in and be like, oh yeah, I got your family out. Because that needed to happen. They couldn't die.
He will be a more important person in the next film. Next
I hope so, because
he will.
Up till now, he's just sat around and like helped hunt rabbits,
yep. And kiss mm-hmm. and kiss Katniss every once.
Well, right.
And Ben, the guy
whipped.
Or the other guy,
he did get whipped.
Yeah,
that was important. Really that was
the general. Did you think he sounded like Batman when he started yelling? He kind of did.
Clear the streets.
Oh, and speaking of those police, I noticed that a bunch of the guards in it are carrying P90s. Yeah. Fabrique National P90, which is a real gun, and it's just funny because like that is the go-to sci-fi gun.
Yep.
If you want a futuristic gun that exists, because I think yeah. I think that one of the big appeals.
Did they use that in District 9? Those guns?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I think it's a popular one because it's a real gun, so they can easily get a firing version of it.
Yeah.
But it looks futuristic enough that you don't need to change it.
Did you guys think
like that's all over the place?
Do you guys think it was funny when the trucks were pulling into town? They'd probably be going for miles.
And those guys were standing on the side. I had the exact
Sean,
same
did you
thought.
See this movie?
Yeah, I did.
So did you, when you saw that, were you thinking like, what the hell is this?
Kind of, but their jumpsuits, I mean, their whole military.
But like, don't they do that when they're like ready to jump into combat? They're
like,
strolling
they
into
right
town.
They wouldn't be outside unprotected by the armored truck.
Yeah, that'd be.
But
yeah, they'd be inside.
Did you guys see, there was one guy that when they pulled into District 12, like one guy almost fell off. It was really funny.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. There was like one guy like reaching for his gun. Like, oh, shit.
Don't ruin the take.
Like, oh, the editor didn't catch that one.
Yeah. And the other thing I find that I am now branding for my own records as stupid character moments. Moments that are really stupid and everyone knows are moronic, but in a certain way they have to be in the movie to make it work, mm-hmm. is when Katniss reached towards the death fog. It's
yeah.
like, you are in a place, I know you're sleep deprived and you're probably hallucinating, but you know you're in the Hunger Games right now and you are reaching towards the fog.
I was just waiting for her to be like, okay, let's go. Like,
yeah, and
this is probably bad. What's wrong?
And again, I'm going to call it stupid character moments because it's stuff that probably in a certain way has to happen. Because
it wasn't even fog. Like, fog, that's not fog. That's
no,
like gas.
Yeah. Like, that was like, that would have been super obvious.
But I really, for me not reading the book at all, I really enjoyed
the game.
Did
anybody read the book? Oh. Here?
I have not read the second one.
I did not.
No.
I read the
Wikipedia
page
we'll just
on
say
it.
That.
Yeah. We didn't read it at all.
So we're examining it as a movie.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, I think.
I really enjoyed the game concept. The whole like clock thing. I thought that was really cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Something I didn't like was I felt the beginning was really slow. They kept, I don't know, for me, they kept putting Katniss through these the same scenarios of her reacting to the situation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean,
and
too.
She wouldn't change.
Yeah,
just
like
as just come on, let's let
as like wait, realize like, what's going too on much exposition and... going on. Like every like I think like three times they have to explain to her why it's so important.
Yeah,
that they do this, and like she does not get it any time. It does not sink in the slightest.
She just doesn't care. Like. It's like, don't you realize what's happening? Like, are you that stupid?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Or, to be fair, and one thing I did enjoy it is the whole like post-traumatic stress thing that she's dealing with. And I've heard from the director said that that's going to be an even bigger part of the next film, is her dealing with that. Like early on when she was shooting the turkeys, and then it goes to one of the guys from the cameo of one of the guys who probably died in the last film. Really,
the
early
next
on.
Film. Talk about cliffhangers, by the way. So like close up on her face, like she's pissed.
Yeah, I don't like those. I don't like it when they do that. I think a movie should stand on its own feet.
Yeah, back to what I wanted it to be. Like, I knew that was gonna like it was coming to that.
Yeah,
but I wanted the end to be like a shot of some like a battle or something happening or something
rebellion,
something
actually,
burning or like not just her face.
Or even wasn't it at the end of the first one? Like, wasn't it like didn't it cut to like. Was it the guy committing suicide or about to commit suicide? The previous game maker, like he like
it didn't
he was walking
end on that though.
No, because I thought it ended that it was on him or President Snow. Like it was was that it or am I just making things up?
I don't remember.
Yeah. What did you guys think of the whole little logo thing at the end?
Fan service.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, like it was the Mockingjay thing, and then it like burst into flames.
It turned into like a phoenix.
Oh,
well, wasn't a phoenix.
I didn't really understand. It's not.
Doesn't each book have a symbol?
Yeah, it does.
Is that the third book symbol?
No, it's not.
Or no, okay,
no. So that's what I thought it was. The spread bird thing is not. No, the final one is.
Is this a trilogy?
What it looks like? Yeah, it's a trilogy.
Okay.
But they
might be splitting up the last movie too.
Guys,
but with the dome breaking, I felt like it would have been perfect to be like, okay, we're out of Katniss and her world of the Hunger Games. Like,
yeah,
the dome broke down. Like, let's reveal the world that we're in because we haven't really seen it except for some wide shots of the Capitol.
That would have been cool, yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's what I wanted.
Or just a
little taste.
Seeing the fleets of ships leaving the Capitol as they go to
start
firebombing.
Yeah, it would have been cool to have like a Truman Show moment. Like,
exactly.
You've broken... Yeah,
dude,
don't give me that look.
What?
You're like, what are you talking about?
Oh, no. I mean,
no, like, you've broken through the false world. Now you can see beyond.
Yeah.
And also,
the lies have gone away.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, I am wrong that the ending thing they ended on in the movie, that is indeed the logo of the final book. I was getting two of them switched
up. Guys, did they explain the Mockingjay thing in the first movie?
Yes.
They did?
Yeah. Barely.
Can you explain it again?
I don't think you saw it.
In the old world, old wars, the first ones... They engineered these Mockingjays.
They were called Jabberjays originally,
to copy messages and then basically messaging birds, so they could send.
They would
private
overhear
messages.
You, and then they would leave. And then they started after the wars. They started breeding with mockingbirds, and so then they made the new species called the Mockingjay. So that's why, like, it will carry tunes, but not necessarily straight voices anymore.
I'm pretty damn sure they did not explain that in the movie.
They didn't go that deep.
No, not that deep.
You just need
to go.
The only
more.
Thing I think was that little girl. She was like, she whistled and like, see, you can use,
and
they copied her.
In the Catching Fire, though, the birds that are screaming, those ones are Jabberjays. Those ones are like the original. Like,
I remember,
designed to
remember saying that, but I wish, you know, if it's called, what's the third book called?
Mockingjay.
You guys know? It's called Mockingjay. Mm-hmm. One of the books is called Mockingjay. I wish they would have explained what it is.
Well, in the rebellion symbol
is
based on it.
Yeah.
Like she has that costume from her
wedding
dress.
I feel like in movies like this, they assume people have read the books. They must, because they put so much effort into these long, big action scenes, but no effort into explaining important plot points.
Which is one thing I liked about the first one more is like, you were still to a certain extent watching the Hunger Games from outside. So like they would every once in a while they would be cutting to Caesar Blinkman and his co-host saying, "Oh, is that a nest of tracker jackers or whatever?" Like they would have a little moment saying like, "This is what this thing is and why it's dangerous."
They didn't do that in this movie.
Nope,
at all.
No. They didn't at all. Which again, like with like the Jabberjays or some of the other moments, it would have been nice to have some of those little interludes in there to do a little bit of explaining in a logical manner.
Yeah, which was weird because they only had the only outside viewing they had was from the.
From the control
White,
room.
Mr. White in the control room.
Yeah. Mr. White?
Or what
was
his name?
Snow?
Mr. White?
I don't know.
We're not watching Reservoir Dogs, dude.
The Colonel?
Yeah. No, yeah. President Snow and Plutarch, What's his last name?
Plutarch?
Plutarch.
The new game maker?
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman was Plutarch, someone or other.
What a great choice for that character.
I really enjoyed it. Philip Seymour Hoffman is really great.
It's weird having him be good, though.
He is the character you expect to be bad.
So,
but
he just looks like
I knew he would be good because of what he said to Katniss, but
yeah,
like
what did he say?
He's like, maybe you inspired. Like I think that scene was very well written.
Yeah,
because like it really is. It could go either way. It could either be like I got back into this job because of you. So it's either because I need to make the games mean fear again, or it's because you've inspired me to come back. To rise up and to do what you did too, so it can go the way. So I thought it was well written.
Yeah,
and I didn't know until the very end, the last scene of the movie, that he was actually a good guy.
Oh, honestly. Me either.
So from my perspective, I thought he was an evil guy the whole time.
Mm. For me, the door opened up. For me, it was like a growing suspicion. Like I wasn't surprised to see him at the end, but it was cool to see him there. I was actually kind of I liked how the dude with the spear who was going around. I liked him being like having his hands spread across the table, like he was kind of orchestrating a whole bunch of it. Because I thought that was pretty cool. Sure. That he I want to see that character explored more.
Do you guys think it was weird at the end? They were like, "It's the rebellion. This is it, and you're the leader or whatever." He said, "You're the."
You're the person we've been. Yeah. You've been our goal.
Well, she's not doing anything. She's just kind of like the.
She's the figurehead.
The voice.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I guess
they've basically been using her,
which I think this entire time that kind of drove home the whole thing for me with the whole Mockingjay. Or like, I have no idea what this why this means something. Like, you were the Mockingjay, or like whatever he says.
And really,
like, wait, what? That makes no sense to me.
That's kind of one of the worst things you can have in your movie is people saying. Why is this important again?
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean?
Yeah.
David, any other notes you got?
One thing, when Katniss wakes up from her night terror PTSD moment when they're on the train, and PETA comes running in, he must have been waiting outside the door. He was jolly on the spot. Like, he was like peeking through the hole. He's just like, ah! And then, what is it?
It was a jump cut. There was time in there.
No, it wasn't.
He saw it twice.
Yeah. I know what I saw.
She probably did it once, and then he was like, "I should probably gonna do it again. I gotta wait for this."
The other thing that when they're in District 11 and that old man gets killed, when he's being dragged away, when they're looking down from the attic, there's no blood.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nothing in his head. There's nothing on the floor. And a headshot. I assume there's gonna be a lot.
The
of blood.
Back of yeah. the.
I did really enjoy that scene. With the speech and having
that was
very
a really
powerful.
Good
her react and stuff to the Rue.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else do I like?
I really like Peter.
What else is my favorite?
Nice. You know what?
So many arrows.
What?
Katniss got too many arrows.
Yeah. By the way,
even conceivably with her taking some back from things she's killed, she had way too many the whole time. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say in the training thing when she's shooting the holograms. She had a Legolas
she almost got worse in the game.
Can any can any human actually do that fast?
Oh. There was a person actually. There was a video about this guy who can. He held the arrows in his hand. Like it was a technique that he's reviving that was supposed to be way back when. Mm-hmm. But there was a video showing him shoot faster than Legolas and accurately.
Oh, I'd love to see that video. I'll have to look at that
later.
Yeah,
I'll show it to you later.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Okay, but for Katniss, though, she's just
she's
random.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I see a flaw in that training simulator.
What's that?
And that it does not take into account momentum. Because there were people running at her, and she shot them, and they just exploded, where she would have a body flying at her.
I thought about that, too.
A big body. But yes, it's a training thing, and I'm getting to a nitpicky stage.
How about when she was shooting the baboons? Yeah, it was kind of like a video game thing, where she shoots them, they go pew!
Yeah.
Pew. Like, they don't continue to
move
forward.
One arrow kills one baboon that's enraged.
It's like in Halo when you headshot like a brute. He'll just fly up in the air.
And right before that scene, I think she was actually leading the old lady to try and teach her how to fight. And she's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where you're going to start off.
This is your first step.
Yeah, no, I know. She's like, you want to do it with me? If she would have been what would she have done in there?
Yeah.
She'd have been a human
shield.
She's
jumping around, doing this crazy shit.
Yeah. It broke her hip.
And one thing I mentioned earlier, because as I said, I saw it twice, and I saw it once in digital projection. And also, full disclosure, when I saw that, I had to sit in the front row. like the front row looking up at the screen, which I personally hate. I know, Lee, you enjoy that, or maybe not front row, but close up.
Yeah.
I dislike that.
At least to be in the movie.
One thing that bothered me is
yeah.
I saw pixels on the screen, and then I could not stop thinking about the bloody pixels. But then when I saw it in film, I saw, you know, I think once I saw like a cigarette burn thing in there for marking, and I saw scratches on the film, and it was wonderful.
And you just it went, looked, oh, my heart.
It was so full. No, I really think it looked better. I really do. Like the fact, like seeing those pixels on screen, and even at that distance, I think like the depth that you get in the film just looked so much better.
Have you seen pixels on a screen before like that?
Yes.
In a theater?
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't that it was done bad.
I saw it in IMAX and sat in the third row, so it was awesome.
Yeah, and this will go into hopefully our test sometime, hopefully in the next year, of shooting a Super 16 film and then transferring it to digital and doing our own sort of little look at it side by side.
You want to try and project it digital or on a film projector?
Oh, yeah.
If we shot it on film?
Yeah, I'll see if I
can. Oh, no, that would cost more money. We'd have to make like a print from the negative.
Yeah, we'd have to do some advanced.
But
we'll talk about that later.
So you agree with Quentin Tarantino when he went on his whole rant about how he's being cheated when he sees a digital projection. He's like, I feel like I'm being cheated when I find out it's digital, because a lot of people think when you're filming a movie, you're filming motion. You're not. You're taking a bunch of still images, but played back at 24 frames a second. It creates through a light bulb, it creates an illusion. That's part of the magic of film.
I agree.
Crap.
Yes, I agree.
You're doing the same thing with digital, just
I know.
More technical.
Well,
I know.
Well, it's slightly different. But anyway. Because I'm on the fence sort of about it, because I love film, I love the look of film, I love shooting film, but at the same time I love digital a lot too. Like I love Red Epics and all that kind of stuff too. So like I appreciate the nuances and benefits of both, while acknowledging that, you know, digital is not quite as good as film in my opinion still. Well, again, I'll have to see when I see the Dragon 6K footage, because I've heard that is really,
yeah,
really,
I know,
damn
it
close.
Goes back and forth,
but
and
yeah.
We've done side by side things of The Hobbit versus Fellowship of the Ring,
yeah,
that one time,
yeah, yeah. Digital copy versus, you know, straight digital.
Well, let's go around the horn, just like a sum up, like from each person, what you guys thought of the movie, and then we can, or if you liked it.
Good for me. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did anyone not like it?
I wouldn't say I didn't like it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it, but it wasn't like,
it wasn't a stick out in your mind.
Oh my god!
Awesome.
Like,
was so,
when
yeah,
I left,
everyone was like, "Oh, it's amazing," and I'm like, "Is it amazing?"
Yeah, it wasn't amazing. Amazing, strong.
Yeah,
strong word.
Yeah, it had some good moments, and it was overall, it was a good film.
Mm-hmm.
Overall,
very pleased.
Yeah, it was better than I thought it was going to be. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Well, Alicia, my wife, she did read the book, and she said it was a really good representation. Mm.
That's what I heard
book.
As well from my sister,
so,
who was also
that's a good thing.
Trilogy.
So maybe we should look at it as material that enhances the source material, but
it cannot,
standing on its own, not so much.
Yeah, maybe getting a little shaky ground. We should make a rating system up for ourselves.
Okay.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us.
Thank you for listening to this week's ISCast, featuring David, Ben, Wade, Lee, and Sean. Thanks again, and happy holidays.
Good night.
It's always one.